slightly different report tonight, and she has just been doing with her team a lot of work this year around not only funding things for this year, but looking ahead for some of the diversity, equity, and inclusion work we want to include for next year. And that's so important for us to look ahead, pre-plan to plan, so that we're fundraising and funding for it. So Catherine, take it away.
Thanks, Lisa. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Kev, for that beautiful report. It's really difficult to follow you, but I will try my best. So actually, can we move to the next slide? We can just jump right in. So I was asked to come and share a little bit about some of the work that has been happening this year, specifically around fundraising for the arts and DEI. And I won't go through everything nitty-gritty through this slide. You can read everything that's there. But I first approached this by thinking, okay, how can we look at our 525 donors that we have so far this year? I mean, we still have the spring to go. And how can I narrow in and choose and highlight some of those who are specifically funding this program or that? And the reality is that at the start of every year, and this is my ninth year at OSA, every year we are given a budget and an organizational budget that has a gap because we are a robust arts school that comes naturally with a bit of a gap that needs to be filled. And so we are tasked with fundraising anywhere between 8 and 12% of the organizational budget every year. And in order to, you know, we're very fortunate in that we have a lot of donors who are interested in supporting our general operating needs, but many donors aren't that interested in supporting just Gen Ops. So we have to speak about OSA in a way that is inclusive of all of the work and the special programming that we're putting out there. So number one, most folks are interested in funding the arts. That's a no-brainer. Secondly, what has always been sort of the apple of many donors' eyes over the last few years since Step It Up started was our DEI work. And then, of course, now we have more growing interest surrounding our career readiness programming and work that Ms. Dolores Thompson is working really hard to basically transform through the pathway development. So I just wanted to just highlight a few key efforts that have happened this year and then talk a little bit about a few donors that have supported this program or that program, just to remind everyone of sort of the work that goes into raising the kind of money that we need to raise every year. So at this point in the year, we're at about just over $600,000 raised. That does not include anywhere from an additional $60,000 to $80,000 that is either pending right now or that we will actually see come to us at the start of next fiscal year. So it really starts with OSA Creates was a, you know, we did a couple direct mails before OSA Creates to get the annual fund up and going. But OSA Creates was a great coming together of a community celebration that supported not only Gen Ops, but it supported the arts. It supported our DEI program and as well as career readiness. Then as Ms. Sherman Colt mentioned, the Giving Tuesday was a huge effort in terms of supporting specifically just our DEI program. That could not have been done, obviously, without the participation from our Board of Students of Color, as well as Mr. Oz and Ms. Joshi. Everyone coming together to really make something amazing happened. And why was it amazing? Because we raised the most from any Giving Tuesday through that effort this year than we have in previous years. So we raised anywhere from about 25,000 to 28. And the reason why there's a range there is because, as you all know, as families, there's a lot going on at OSA at any given week. And during that particular week, we started some fall, some winter performances. So it's really hard where we were also going to those performances and pitching our families and pitching other outside donors. So it's really hard to pinpoint why people were giving at certain dates. But this is a range that I feel very comfortable with sharing that is a direct reflection of our fundraising for that specific effort. Then I was looking down at through our donor list, and I wanted to just highlight a few institutional giving donors. And so what institutional means is our foundation and corporate donors. We have the majority of our donor base is individuals. Actually about 475 of our 525 donors are individuals. That speaks volumes, and I could do a whole presentation just on that. But I didn't highlight them here, although we do have individuals who specifically write leadership or make leadership gifts to support either the arts or to support career readiness, as well as our DEI. In fact, we have one lead donor here tonight. Thank you again. You know who you are. Thank you. But because this is a public meeting, and although these donors don't request to be anonymous, I prefer not to put anybody specifically on the spot. So I chose to focus just on institutional for this specific slide. So when you look at, I just wanted to highlight a few columns here, just received, pending, and denied. You can see received, I don't have to read through these all, but you can see the amounts of money that we're bringing in for particular donors. And all of these are individual relationships that have to be carefully managed. Some of these have been with us for many years. A couple of these are brand new. Some of these are also just coming through a strengthened major matching gift program through employers. So under the received, I just want to highlight and give a shout out to Bandcamp. I don't know if folks here are aware that Bandcamp, who is our neighbor, just they moved in across the street from the Fox just a couple years ago. They have been such an incredible donor to OSA and such an incredible community partner, not only just to OSA, but to other like-minded organizations in Oakland. This year they came in again at 8,000. They have a specific interest in funding our Step It Up program over the years. And they're also interested in funding our larger DEI program that we're talking about creating for next year. I put some, what GenOps means, it just means general operating. And so you can know that when we go to these donors and we submit a proposal for GenOps, we are absolutely talking about our DEI programs, and we're talking about our Step It Up program. We're talking about career readiness and all of the changes. We're talking about all the leadership changes that have happened over the years. We're talking about our graduation rates. There's a lot of, and the kinds of schools that our students are getting into. So it's, this is all a very robust conversation that is happening with every single person. We have some pending donors here, and the reason why I mark them anonymous is because I think some might not have been muted, but I'll just keep going. Okay. We have some pending donors here, and I mark them as anonymous because I don't feel comfortable saying who they are until we at least submit a proposal. So some of these are being written as I speak. They'll be submitted by March 1, which therefore we might get the funding for the following year. Some of these donors also come with match opportunities. So you'll be hearing from us around how the community can get involved and help us leverage these contributions from certain foundations or corporations with a match so that their donation can be doubled, sometimes tripled. I wanted to show here just a few denied proposals that we received within the past few months. And you'll see that these are from the county and also from state. So you'll see the level of the amounts that we're asking for. And it's interesting to me that those three are the ones that have been denied out of all of the proposals that we've put out there. So it's just good information for us. It's good information for me. And it's, I'm just sharing that with you as a, as you know, just as we talk about planning going forward and why our emphasis might be on local funding as well as individuals. So that's a whole other topic. And then whoever is managing this, can you please click the supporters page? I just want to draw everyone's attention to this page that we have on our website that we maintain year after year. You can go back and see the past supporters list. You can look at our annual reports over the years. I'm in the process of making another annual report, by the way, so stay tuned for that for last fiscal year. But here you'll see, if we can just scroll down a little bit, look at this on your own time, but you can see the kinds of folks who are contributing and the number at what level that we're receiving. So if you want to scroll down, there's a lot of names on here. You'll also see by these beautiful little stars that we indicate who has made a matching gift. We indicate who has set up a recurring gift. And all of this work is happening all the time behind the scenes. We're following up with our recurring donors regularly. We're putting out proposals to those who require proposals. We're following up with folks when they give us a donation and we notice that they work at Google. We write them and say, hey, do you know that you have a matching gift program at Google? You guys can visit that on your own. Can we go back to the deck, please? Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so just want to wrap that up before I move into the next thing. But if anybody has any questions at any point, obviously there'll be some time after I present that you can ask them, but please feel free to reach out to me. And also if you have any contacts or if you know of anybody who you think might be interested in supporting general operating, arts, or DEI, career readiness, anything, please reach out to me. Okay, so moving on, this is the last piece of my presentation. I did announce at the last board meeting that we were having a spring benefit called, it's our annual Heart of Oakland Spring Benefit. This is our new artwork. Again, shout out to our visual arts department for creating this beautiful new artwork. Every year we produce 9 different tiles and the department meets and they decide the artwork that will be shown for the year for this event. Special points for anybody who can guess what the top left tile is. It took me a while, but anyway, I just want to announce this because there has been an important shift with this event. Originally, when we announced this, we were aiming for March 25th as being the date. But we pushed it back for many reasons. We realized there was just a huge benefit in pushing it back. So it is now happening on April 29th at 6 p.m. The theme for the event this year is Oakland Made. And so you'll be seeing some student performances, student work, potentially some special guests, as well as I would love to work with our alumni. So I'll be reaching out to you, Tracy, to learn more about how we can partner together. All around this theme around Oakland Made. We also are doing something very different this year where we've hired a local well-known successful auctioneer to help us pilot our first auction. And this will be the wave of the future for this event. I'm really excited about that. So could you please click on the link? So this is just taking you to our website. It's really easy to find for the event in case you're just late at night and wondering, you know, what you forgot to do. Maybe it was you forgot to RSVP for the event. So go to this website, RSVP here. You can learn more about the event. You can also, my contact information is here. You can reach out with any questions. Registration is free. More information will come as folks register. We'll be sending out all kinds of updates and communications. And we are looking for a little bit of support. There are 4 ways specifically that you can help if you're just amped and want to help right now. 1, RSVP, please tell your friends. We would love to see even more folks join us than they did at OSA Creates. OSA Creates, we had about 200 folks show up. So let's double that. Why not? You can volunteer to support our auction item procurement. So we want to have a really great, robust auction. So far we have about 35 items, which is 15 more than the last time I presented. So thank you, everybody. We would love to get more. And we will do a combination once we get those items. We'll combine like-minded events or items and then put them together in nice little packages. And we'll offer a online auction a week before the event. And then if we get some really good high ticketed items, we'll be auctioning them off live during the event. 2 other ways that you can support us is 1 is donate an auction item. And the last but not least, we are always looking for sponsorship. So we would love to cover all of our event related costs leading up to this event so that the night of the event, we can come to our community and say all of our proceeds that we raised tonight will directly support our students in our school. So more information will be mailed out to families very soon and to our donors. I'm also trying to get some of our major donors involved as well. More coming soon. Anyone have any questions?
Wow. Thank you so much, Catherine. That was a lot of information, but very, very worthwhile and important. Thank you so much. Okay. Next slide. We're going to shift quickly, and I know we have quite a few slides left, so we'll go quickly. But this is, we are building out the strategic plan, the 3-year strategic plan for OSA. And with all the equity work and the focus that we are really looking at with DEI, what we're doing is taking the four pillars, community, academic, arts, and sustainability, and we're weaving into the fabric of the school, the DEI work. So it's not a separate column by itself, but rather it's woven into the fabric of the school so that we are looking at it from all aspects of our program. And our goal will be, so what I'd like to do is introduce Katie Zog. She is the assistant principal of OSA, and she's doing an incredible job with our leadership team of facilitating the framework of putting together the strategic plan. And she'll share out tonight how all of you will be getting involved in this work too. Katie.
Thanks, Lisa. Hi, everybody. I'm just going to kind of briefly give you an overview of what the strategic plan is, the purpose for it, and then where we're at in developing it. So as Lisa mentioned, there's four pillars, community, arts, academic excellence, and sustainability. We are going to include diversity, equity, and inclusion in each. And in addition, because this has been another year of research and development and reflection, our WASC school-wide action plan. So all these things are going to come together in this plan that's going to account for the next 3 years. So just to kind of speak to it, you can read the screen there. It really is a way to look at a way of holding ourselves accountable, because we're going to lay out what the next 3 years look like. And that work has just started. So we are in a team of 13 people on leadership. We've been breaking off into different pillars to start this work. You can go to the next slide. I can kind of show you where we're at. We started looking at our old strategic plan, and that was kind of a nice place to begin, because we wanted to look at what was our goals in the old plan, if we met them, and then actually what we needed to then focus on and how we want to adapt. We looked at the school data, we looked at focus group data from our meetings with Candace, the WASC research, and all the rubric building that we've been doing with Candace. Using all that, our pillar teams kind of broke into our sessions for multiple meetings to define what each pillar actually meant, because they're big categories. And we wanted to find out specific objectives to kind of guide and map out the next few years of OSA. In that process, we're looking at what the goals are, what action steps are, what needs we have, what are potential barriers, the timelines for getting these things done, and then what data will measure our progress. So each year there's this time and space for reflection and accountability and potentially to change and redirect that pillar. Right now, we just kind of this morning finished creating outlines of what each pillar is, the objectives of them, and overviews of where we see that work being done over the next 3 years. That means the next part is to share it all with you guys and all our stakeholders to get feedback, because at this point, you can go to the next slide. At this point, it is just an overview. It is a draft. So what we need next is to hear from our community members around what they also want to include in each one of those pillars. So this begins on March 2nd, which is Tuesday. It's a town hall. We're going to provide an overview of the purpose of each pillar and where we have aligned goals. This is a town hall in the morning. Fully understand that it's not a time everyone can make. So we're going to provide an additional evening in the next few weeks. I want to work with the calendar and parent groups to find out when that best time is, because I know it's scheduling gets a little tricky. We're working with staff and teachers and students on March 3rd. We'll then look at all those things again and provide a space for feedback from all of those groups. The board members are all broken into committees as well. In the next few weeks, or probably this week, you'll get an email from one of the members of our pillar teams trying to schedule with each of you to kind of have that same conversation, looking at what we've laid out, getting feedback. And then our leadership team spends the next month and a half really taking all of that information, all of that feedback, all of those voices, and writing out what the draft of the plan would be. Then this whole process kind of starts all over again. We then would bring our drafts. So the drafts, the data, the action, the accountability plan, we bring it back to our teachers to look at for feedback, back to the community, and then we bring it back here in June to review and approve. That's the strategic plan in a nutshell. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you, Katie. she so eloquently shared a very complicated piece of organization and taking things out and putting it all together. And she's doing a beautiful job facilitating this work for us. So thank you. This will be ongoing, and then we will all be coming back later in the year to do a rough draft, to review a rough draft, a community read, and then send it off to the board after everyone's had some feedback. So thanks so much. The next portion of the presentation tonight is on arts. I wanted to just share, the board asked me to please share out what the school is doing to support our rising sixth graders who are going to be entering through a lottery and not an audition. The first step that we're going to do is an assessment in May. We haven't selected the dates yet, but we will certainly let everyone know as soon as we have arranged that with the calendar. This will be a math and English assessment, and the purpose is really just to meet the kids where they are. It helps us pre-plan to plan for programming in the fall if we are seeing what supports need to be put into place for programming. It also is a wonderful time for us to extend an olive branch and welcoming arm to our new families. And if we have kids joining us that have a 504 or an IEP, this is a great time for us to begin getting that information so that we can obviously pre-plan to plan again, so that we can support the kids as soon as they walk in the door. Our arts teachers are also looking at doing an assessment once we know who the students are that have accepted their acceptance. Next slide. The other piece we want to do is design a brief bridge program over the summer. I'm wanting to put some money aside for this. We really want to support our new kids when they come in the door, our sixth graders, and then our kids that are older, 7th through 12th, that are new to OSA, to have a two-day time that's a community builder where they're making friends, they're hearing about the core values of OSA, they're seeing the expectations, hearing about it, meeting people, making friends. It's a wonderful transition to come into the school. This will be in the first week of August. Next slide, please. So a little bit about the arts planning that has happened this year. I wanted to begin by sharing that we, you know, over the summer, Mr. Travisano left us and he was the artistic director of the school. And if you remember, we were stepping in with quite a deficit to the school. So his role wasn't completed with a new hire. But what we did do was we took sections of his job and parceled them out to others. And I took on quite a bit. So one of the pieces, and this was really great for me to do because I had a chance to work with the arts chairs. Once a week, every Monday, we would meet. But I also was able to begin to take a look from a bird's eye lens of evaluating the arts programming. And in my past life, I was an artistic director of an art school, as well as many other things. But what we were able to do is really have some deeper level conversations around arts programming to step into classrooms. And I have to say, in the short time that I've been here, this has been the most heartwarming and best part of my job is to step into a classroom and see the kids in action and the teachers in action. It's just been fabulous. So with the work that we've done through evaluating programs and the arts chairs meeting weekly, the arts staff meeting every Tuesday, either by department, pathway, or all arts. And then we also had a retreat for our arts chairs last fall that OSA administration attended. And really the outcomes, we were looking at how are we designing middle school arts program for the next school year with our brand new incoming rising sixth graders. Next slide. So our middle school program will look slightly a little bit different. Some of the outcomes we came up with were one about curriculum. How are we developing new curriculum per sub pathway? So we have existing curriculum, but how are we bridging more fundamental core values, you know, more fundamental programming so that kids stepping in with no arts experience could step into a class at a very fundamental level, and we were meeting them right where they were at. The other place with curriculum was developing new pathway access courses. So the pathway access is if I am Miss Linda in fashion design and I am looking at the breadth and scope of my curriculum with the other arts in my pathway, I might be having the conversation with visual art to say, hey, could my students take a figure drawing class, which would align and dovetail beautifully with the fashion design class. So these are the conversations they started having. The other big outcome was schedule. So what we're doing is slightly changing the schedule for next school year so that all students are in their sub pathway, but the performing arts on Wednesdays will have pathway access courses so they can cross pollinate. And the visual digital media arts pathway will have these access pathway access classes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Next slide, please. As you can see, we're starting to build out the master schedule for next year. This is a lovely visual of the pathways. So you can see on the left what makes up the digital, visual, and media pathway, and on the right, what makes up our performing arts pathway. And these chairs are terrific, and they are collaborating and working together constantly. And there's just been a ton of behind the scenes work that they've done. So I couldn't be more pleased to be with them. But this is a great intro into introducing Dr. Dolores Thompson, who has done a tremendous amount of work at the school. She stepped into a new role this year. She has been working not only with aligning work at the school, but providing so much rich opportunities for our kids post high school, as well as internships and apprenticeships in high school. So I will hand things over to Dr. Dolores Thompson.
Thank you, Lisa. Good evening, everyone. I'm not going to be long because my computer is going to die, so I'm sure your laptop is running out of power too. So I just quickly want to talk about what's been happening as far as pathway coordinator when I took on the position. This summer, Mike Oz and I sat down and I was given the position and he set some goals and I went to work. One of those goals was to make sure that our arts courses were CTE sequenced and starting to align with the CTE program. Well, I'm happy to announce that 80% of our courses are now CTE sequenced. And you're probably going, what does that mean? Well, a sequence is a number of tiers that a student will take in order to become a CTE completer. So we have intro, concentrator, and capstone, and finally the graduating completers. So 80% of that work is already done. I've been working with our Measure N consultant, Patricia Clark, and we've moved forward in securing our silver certification. Again, here's another word, silver certification. What is that? Well, silver certification simply states that we have implements in place to provide students with a rich, integrated college and career prep experience. It's a big deal. So we're almost there with that too. CTE Advisory Board. One of the things that I thought about when I started thinking about the CTE Advisory Board is how I can construct it to where it is effective to all arts programming. So what I did was a little restructuring to where the group that will, when we assemble that group, they will have access to evaluating programming and assisting in programming for the arts. Not only that, they'll help with community engagement, fundraising, not just fundraising, but bringing in corporate sponsors for us, as well as being donors themselves. So I'm excited about putting together a board with our arts chairs and also some of the artists in the community that we've had in the school this year, which I'll talk about a little bit later. The MMI program is a program that I created because, again, I started reading some of the criteria for the CTE and work-based learning. initiatives. So the MMI program simply means mentors, masterclasses, and internships. And this program is all about our commitment to transforming education to a relevant and engaging experience, right? Because when I was a kid, that's what got me, when you engage me into what's really happening today. So I've already established some partnerships at OSA, like with the OSA alum. I met with them and talked to them about coming on board and being mentors with our kids. You know what I'm saying? I've already established partnerships with companies like KQED, Still I Rise, a film production company in Berkeley, that are actually taking on interns this year as our pilot, test pilot. Also, Cal State East Bay will be taking on interns, again, test pilot year. Individual folks that I have working with our students coming in as mentors that are in the industry. Like this Friday, I'm going to have a five-time Emmy Award-winning news person come in and work with the KOSA students. So these are some of the partnerships that I'm trying to build that will help our students foundationally be able to make it in the entertainment industry if that's their goal. Now let's talk about the college side, because CTE is really about college and career readiness. So the programming that we're doing called College Career and Beyond is more of like an assessment and an evaluation for the student. And it's a 12-week program, and Mike and I have been talking about how we can implement that program. I also met with the English department as well as the department chairs in the arts. So we've been talking about how each department will take a little piece of this program that will help the kids be able to assess where they're at, assess whether or not something is right for them, because lots of times kids end up in colleges because, well, granddad went there, or, you know, it's the alma mater of our parents. But we really want them to be able to go somewhere that's going to help them springboard into their career, right? So this College Careers and Beyond is a total assessment self-awareness for our kids. And we're going to be implementing that next year with our 11th and 12th graders. So I'm super excited about that. Project-based learning. Now, this is something that we'll have an opportunity to create projects where kids can become critical thinkers right on campus. I just went to a seminar this week given by the George Lucas Foundation, where they talked about creating projects like small businesses that kids can get involved in. And this is where I really fell in love with project-based learning, because I start thinking about multimedia businesses that we can do, because we're already an AME, you know, an AME school. So why not have a small theater production company? Why not have a television station, a film company? Why? Well, we already have a radio station, which I've been running, KOSA Radio, where minds, words, music, and rhymes meet. So why not expand this to a record label? I talked to some of the faculty members like Kev Choice and Mr. Lauji, and they said, we'd love to do a record label. Well, let's do that. Again, this program will allow our students to work on more complex technical aspects of design and function within various entertainment venues, which leads to what? Career choices. And that's what it's all about, which is why I love this CTE program. Let's see, next slide. Arts and academic integration is one of the things that I've been working on with our English department. So big shout out to Elizabeth Treadwell. She came to me with a project called the Harlem Renaissance. And when she started telling me what that project meant and what it was going to be about, I quickly thought of Kev Choice. I mean, who's a better choice than to talk about Harlem Renaissance music era than Kev Choice? So pairing those two together is what the arts and integration lens looks like. And we've been able to build on that, you know, arts and integration with the Harlem Renaissance. Ms. Treadwell then talked to Linda in fashion design, who then talked to Mr. Savage and Ms. Hurley. It just became a big project that everyone wanted to be involved with, which also shows you how something can spark that creativity in people and make them want to do the extra work, right? So I reached out to Ms. Josie, who heads up the ethnic studies, and David Abrams, who's in charge of the playwriters department. And I said, why not put these two groups together and let them create plays for Black and Brown that represent the Black and Brown, you know, communities. Let them speak to those communities. And just things like that that I've been thinking that we can do and we're going to implement. Next slide. Next slide, sorry. Next, yeah. Okay, so finally, the Artist Speaker Series. The Artist Speaker Series is just our commitment to Creative Pathway School, transforming education into, again, relevant and engaging experience. So what I thought about is if we bring in pathway-specific speakers, we'll allow the kids to moderate, and then that way they can ask the questions and they can really hear about what this career is really like. So I was very strategic in the people that I invited, the people that I knew would actually take off the mask and give you the kids the real story, right? So this has been running since October, and the last one we'll have will be in May. So we've had people like James DeBose, who is the head of programming for Fox Soul, Tammy Mack, who's a television radio host and a three-time NAACP Image Award winner. Mr. Marlon West, who is the head supervisor for Disney Animation. I mean, we've had some really great people come in and speak to our kids, and the attendance has been anywhere from 400 to 700, and this is on their day off. These are on Wednesdays. And in the hour that we have our speakers, we can't even get to all the questions, which lets me know it's successful. We have some upcoming events. We're going to have right there the legendary Fab Five Freddy, who's going to come and talk about graffiti. We're going to have Miss Dana King, who many of you probably know as being a 30-year news broadcaster. She stepped into the artistic world of becoming a sculptor. She's going to come and speak to the kids. Next slide, please. And you don't want to miss our next guest, which is going to be happening on the 9th. Mr. Emilio Castillo, the founder of Tower of Power. And see, the thing about this artist speaker series, it's not just bringing in powerhouses, but it's building relationship. Because these are some of the people that I'm gonna ask to come and be on our CTE advisory board. Not just people that are chosen within the community, but people that can, again, make some things happen. Because after all, this arts world that we're talking about is one where you need to have somebody that will help you get to where you're trying to go. And even, like I said, even if the kids aren't trying to become artists, we still want to instill something in them to wherever they go, whatever arena they step into it with confidence of knowing that they have been embedded with the things that they need to make their personality shine wherever it is they go. So I'm excited about what's happening at OSA. We're in, like Katie said, we're in the middle of planning our three-year goals. And at the end of those 3 years, we want to have all of these things in place. Like I said, we got the pilot internships right now that are happening, which I'm really excited about. And, you know, by year three, we should have a record label with a company like Universal Music undergirding it. Again, let's build that relationship, because those relationships turn into career opportunities for our kids. So, you know, that's what I'm really about. I'm super excited about what's happening with the pathways, and that's all.
Thank you so much, Dolores. That was really incredible. And everyone can just see a little bit of the impact that she's having on the programming, the opportunities that she's giving to our students, and the outcomes that this will have. When we look at our arts programming, it really has a global lens. And when I've had a chance to just step into classrooms, next slide, please. I have had the opportunity to see everyone in action. And one of the classes I stepped into was Mr. Knozik. He's chair of our instrumental music program. He just recorded this morning. It's quite brief, but it's a little soft, so you might need to turn up the volume on your computers. But can we play this, please?
Hi there, I'm Nick Knozik, chair of the Instrumental Music Department. For those of you that I've not met, Lisa asked me to talk a little bit about how I've adapted the music history course, which I've been teaching for about 5 years, into what we're calling music and the human imagination. Today, specifically, I'm going to be really brief because I know that you guys have had a lot of content so far. So I'm going to jump right into it. This is a Prezi that we've basically crowdsourced within the course. And it encompasses about 130 some odd slides that all the students have come together to create. And we've studied instruments from across the globe and across time. This has just been really valuable for all of us, really, just to study different types of fascinations across the globe. Ultimately, there has been no culture in existence without music. And this class sort of seeks to ask why. Why is that the case? So like I said, this is super brief. You can look at this at your leisure. You can go through every single instrument to kind of look at how it's played, some facts about it. And again, all this was created alongside the students. This one in particular, just to kind of give you a quick example of the kora. Really love this one. It's a quarterphone from West Africa. Maintenant l'accompagnement. J'improvise maintenant. Like I said, this Prezi is probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours of content. You can go through and watch videos, and it goes again through sort of an interactive stage. So a lot more to talk about, but again, this is just my little brief, and I hope you enjoy it. Bye.
Thank you. And even though he's the chair of the instrumental music department, he painted that picture shows you the multi-artistic talent that we have in our school. Next slide, please. Whoops. So here we are. And since the beginning of this school year, we have had so many accolades to our kids, to our program, to our staff. I wanted to just mention a few because we have such a talented group here. In dance, senior Mia Ortega was accepted into Chapman with a 4-year, $80,000 Dean Scholarship, a merit-based scholarship awarded to only a handful of students. In digital media, we had a 3D interactive virtual show and played a vital role in collaborating with production design and theater to live stream student performances on a green screen broadcast into a virtual set. In fashion, students dressed social activist Brianna Noble for Halloween, and an alumni was featured in Vogue's Instagram. Instrumental faculty won grants and awards, and while students and alum received prestigious national young arts awards. Lit Arts Chair Jordan Carnes was published several times this year, and students follow in their footsteps in their remarkable monthly virtual publication, The Telegraph. Visual arts students won awards in a Get Out the Vote local contest, while instructors were exhibiting at the Museum of the African Diaspora and were Yerba Buena Artist Center Fellows. Vocal will be competing in the renowned ICHSA a cappella competition with a song composed by alumni and led by another alumni. Faculty is also holding leadership positions and receiving recognition. So all this to say, whether our kids are here or they're alumni and they're coming back, and we are having alumni coming back to teach at OSA, it just says something really, really strong for the school. I wanted to honor the work tonight of so many of our staff and the hard work they do, the commitment that they have. And I'm a firm believer in honoring people's work. So thank you for everybody that presented tonight. And that is the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone who presented. You got lots of love on the chats, lots of appreciation, and you may not hear it every day from your students, but wow, they are thriving because of your work. And I know this is just a small portion of all the work that you do. We have public comment now. I know, Wendy, you had put your name in earlier. So if you would like to start, others can also put their name in for public comment.
Yes, hello, good evening, everyone, and current students, alum, teachers, staff, admin, and OSA board, and just thank you. This is, I'm so proud to be a part of this community, and I just want to appreciate all the work of the Equity Task Force, Step It Up, Advancement, Pathway, everything. I am the college and career counselor at OSA. I'm proud to be a part of this community. I've been here 10 years, parent of two alums, and I'm the academic counselor for 10th through 12th grade. And I just wanted to just add my voice to what I also saw iterated in the comments to fund the JEDI work and the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I'm a member of OSA's White Educators for Equity and Reparations, which is a voluntarily formed group to create a space for white teachers and staff to reflect on our practice, to learn, to take action, to be accountable, and to participate in dismantling oppressive systems. And I think I just wanted to firmly support the work in creating a budget and the rubric that will fully fund four positions, because we've seen the one position of coordinator, but we don't know yet what that pay is gonna look like, and we want it to be competitive. Number two, we wanna make sure that student affinity group leader is funded that Joshi talked about. Three, we want sure that there'll be an adequately funded equity curriculum developer, which we feel strongly that it should be something separate from the overall coordinator to ensure, you know, that we transform the curriculum from white-centered to be culturally inclusive, to include the ethnic studies course requirement. And then four, that there be funding college and career readiness program like AVID that would obviously work with the pathway development coordinator, Dr. Thompson, that would encompass, it would be like an AVID program that would encompass middle and high school. And as the college counselor, you know, I see every day that our wealthier students have access to resources and the knowledge from their parents having gone to college, and our first gen and disproportionately students of color don't have access to those same resources. And this is a very creative community, and I know we can come up, and there's already solutions that we're seeing that could fund these four positions. So thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Karen Morfin.
Hi, I would like to first thank all of the teachers. You do an amazing work. I just want to say that before I start, just so that I undermine everything that you have put in. I have a couple of specific questions. DEI fundraising for Giving Tuesday, as you saw, had the highest participation mentioned here in the presentation. It is still unclear to the community as to how these funds are going to be used. And before you answer as to how these funds are going to be used, I want to mention that the fundraising seemed like it was going to be for future use of DEI. So these funds should not be used to support any current programs, but actually in addition to what's already being in place at the beginning of the year. So the funds shouldn't be allocated to neither Candace nor the current Step It Up, but rather to continue to improve the supports of future programming. And just in transparency, we as a community that supported this Giving Tuesday would like to know how exactly it's gonna be disbursed, or how it's gonna be allocated in a day after December 2nd, which it was when it was fundraised. One idea that I had since the presentation is that maybe some of these funds could be put into the work that Ms. Joshi had presented, such as the AVID program. I know that's not a, I'm fairly familiar with AVID, and that's not a super expensive program. And if these funds could be used for that, that would put the school in a much better place to actually funding those four bold items that she had in her presentation. Lastly, I would like to get some clarity in regards to the Step It Up program. It was my understanding for the charter renewal that anybody who completed the program from Step It Up and applied to the school, had a guaranteed spot at OSA. I want to make sure that that's being followed. And also, lastly, that's going to be my last comment, DEI impact. When we had the meeting focus groups with the DEI coordinator, there was a lot of frustration from parents as to how limited the feedback was and the framing of the questions. I just want to know if that was communicated to both administration and the board, and also see if there will be any future communications with the project director. I want to emphasize that there's a difference between change and outcome, and also noise and progress. I know we're doing a lot of DEI work, and there's a lot of talk about this DEI movement, but I want to make sure that as we move forward into future steps, that we really take a look at the impact this work and funds that we use for Candace and other initiatives at the beginning of the year has a clear reflection on how our students are getting treated, how we as parent community are getting treated, and how we're gonna implement the knowledge from this research into incoming sixth graders next year, which they're gonna come without an addition. And I wanna make sure that these kids feel as welcome as anybody that came with an addition, that we train parents and that we publicly talk about this in the community, that any discriminatory comments in auditions or any other public forums against these sixth graders are not acceptable. So let's make sure that we have that as future conversations. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Leon Jones.
All right, hello everyone. Great work, Dr. Dolores, Ms. Joshi, Kev Choice, Ms. Ogg. That was an amazing, amazing presentation. It actually brought me to tears because I'm so excited. I remember not too long ago, I was on the board and a part of the many conversations that we're having. And I'm so glad to see that we're growing and that we actually have schedules and we're trying to attach dates to things to actually make sure that we're holding ourselves accountable. So amazing, amazing work. One thing that pointed out to me when I was looking at the task force that there is not a position around artistic coordination or an artistic leader. I know that we're talking about DEI and how it's supposed to be into the integral factors of OSA, and it's Oakland School for the Arts. Not all students grew out to be artists, but it is Oakland School for the Arts. So I hope to see maybe a part of this conversation that we talk about an artistic representation, either that's a teacher or if that is the pathway coordinator, some sort of factor where we're thinking about DEI for the arts and some sort of artistic coordinator. I know I saw in the chat earlier opening up the budget again or looking at the budget to try to bring back an artistic director. Just sort of want to put that out because that was something that was in the back of my mind when I was looking at the task force, but amazing, amazing work. And I'm so glad to see that OSA is growing and growing.
Thank you, Leon. Maury Reardon.
Hi, everyone. I just really want to thank everybody who pitched into the presentation tonight. It's really incredible. And it's a gift to have you all for our children and our community. And I'm just blown away. So thank you all so much talent. I do want to just put a pin in, would really love to see the DEI budget once it's thought out for transparency's sake. And I do agree with Wendy that there are multiple positions that'll be required to get us to where we need to be around equity. And it's clear to me you have still over 70 participants at this time of night when everyone's exhausted because we love OSA. We love OSA so much. And at the same time, for those of you that were at that POC town hall last week, it was incredibly painful. It was painful to hear some of the experiences, particularly of Black students. And I just say that we have a sense of urgency here to remedy some wrongs. And again, I think that's tied to seeing the budget and the commitment moving forward. And I thank you for making so much space for this conversation tonight.
Thank you, Maury. Ty?
Yeah, I basically just want to like reiterate a bunch of what other people have said already, but kind of, yeah, I think I remember it was pretty much almost exactly 2 years ago now that we were at a board meeting, and like a bunch of students came and we all had to make speeches because our teachers didn't have their contracts yet, and a bunch of them were leaving that year because they couldn't afford to, you know, come to OSA and stuff like that. And then the union was created and all these changes happened and it was awesome. And that was 2 years ago. And like, and I think, yeah, like there've been a lot of great changes and a lot of like steps being taken, but yeah, kind of like what Karen said, like a lot of the kind of, you know, the effects of those haven't fully been felt by the student body or the teacher population or the parent population and et cetera. And we're still kind of like change takes time, but I think also, yeah, just to stress the urgency of like students' educations and teachers' paychecks and all of these things that are very like right now, and kind of, yeah, just making sure that we're all, yeah, trying to do this as soon as possible. And also, yeah, like making sure that the information about the budget is like super public and super, super like available to the community, and that like if possible, like our input is part of that conversation and stuff like that, because knowing exactly how this money is being spent, I think is super important, especially for equity. We can't have equity if like the community doesn't know how our money is being spent or if it's being spent on the right things. And and so yeah, just like making sure that that's all super transparent and that and super speedy. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I think I have gotten everyone. Board comment and discussion.
I'll make a comment. So a lot of folks have talked about the POC meeting that happened last week. And, you know, one of the things that was discussed last week was folks gave OSA a score of like 2.5 or 3 out of 6 in equity. And after hearing this presentation, one might think like that is so unfair, right? Look at all the work that has been going into equity and how many hours and how much sweat has gone into it. And I think just in defense of our community, we've heard good intentions before. In fact, in 2015, OSA came under pretty heavy criticism for having become an exclusionary school in Oakland. In 2015, OSA students were 63% students of color compared to Oakland Unified, which was 90% students of color. That same year, 2015, OSA had 12% of its students eligible for free and reduced lunch, while OUSD had 74%. In 2015, OSA was 8.1% students with disabilities and OUSD was 14%. After that critique, OSA wrote a new charter and put in the new charter a lot of really amazing equity goals. They wrote a new strategic plan that had a lot of really ambitious equity goals, goals around equity, about diversity, is bringing in a more diverse student body, teachers, professional development. They were all clearly articulated in those documents. Kava Menzies was given the role of DEI coordinator, Step It Up started. There was talk of anti-racist professional development, curriculum development, and really like awesome ideas. And then 5 years later in 2020, not enough had actually changed. Students were still talking about microaggressions in the classroom, and not knowing where to complain, or if they did complain, not knowing if anything had been fixed. The demographics didn't change much. The number of students eligible for free and reduced lunch went from 12% to 16% after 6 years of effort. The number of students of color remained flat. The number of students with disabilities went down. And while the school reached some of its goals with regards to student achievement, it lost ground on others. There are today fewer teachers of color, especially on the academic side, than there were 5 years ago. And that is why there was a lot of frustration and has been a lot of frustration this year, especially when we heard at the beginning of the year that the school was going to launch a 1-year program to really study equity and come up with a plan, right? And folks felt like we came up with a plan 5-6 years ago, right? It's we need to have been implementing that plan already. We need to have already achieved many of our goals. And so what I really want to celebrate about the presentations today is that things have meaningfully changed in this year, that there have been like really great steps forward. I think that the fact that we're being so much more transparent, that the disaggregated data that we see on student achievement and today what we saw on Step It Up was just something I've never seen before. You know, that we have a whole team working on DEI and some of the most incredible, experienced, talented faculty, you know, who are working on this, on these issues, that they're taking real leadership, that they're like able to really take charge of whole programs, that from the executive director to the principal, that they're working as a team, that it's not just on Kava to make it happen. And that is a big difference. And I really am very excited about everything that was articulated today about this future. And I told that whole story about 2015 to 2020, just to illustrate like how easily it can slip away, right? How easily all these amazing goals and programs can slip away unless we figure out how to fund it and how to actually set goals and to be outcome driven instead of like effort driven. Right. And so I know a lot of people work really hard and we want to like make sure that we're actually achieving the goals that we've set out to achieve. And I'm so hopeful after today that that is really possible. And I really want to applaud everybody who put together this presentation, all the work that's gone into it, and really urge us to like take this moment to just do what we know it takes to actually achieve and not find ourselves, you know, in 2025. At the next charter renewal, having the same, you know, the same issues. And I think that's really, really possible. And I myself am really committed to be part of that solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Josefina has her hand up.
Thank you. Thank you, Elise. And I really wanna thank all of the staff and the team that put together the presentation today. It was a lot of amazing content that really demonstrated the tremendous commitment everyone has to all of the different areas of work that is happening now. I have a couple of process comments and then some content comments. So on the process side, I think it would be really helpful to have a written report generated for the board before these presentations. It's a lot of content, and as a board member, it's important to me that I have the opportunity to really review the content and think about the feedback that I want to share with the OSA community. And it's hard to do that when you don't have any of this in writing ahead of the meeting. The second thing is that this is the kind of presentation that really deserves a dedicated board meeting. Even, you know, the DEI work alone could have been a whole board meeting, because I think it's very important that we're engaging in a very deep level of conversation about this work. And it's hard to do that when we don't dedicate the right amount of time to doing that. So that's two process questions, our comments. In terms of the content, I have some questions about the task force. And the first one being, is this a task force that's being proposed as a board task force or as an administration task force? I'd like to have some conversation at the board level about that specific issue. In addition to that, I think in terms of, you know, our thinking about how to sustain this work long-term, it's really critical that we get the structure of the task force right, and also the scope of work of the task force and the reporting lines associated with that. It's really a really critical piece that I did not hear in the discussion yet, but I think should be part of the conversation. So I had some questions about that. Also some questions about the parent representation. You know, I wasn't clear from the slide if it was indicating that there would be one parent representative or multiple parent representatives. I would support multiple parent representatives on that task force. The second kind of comments I'd like to make have to do with the Step It Up program. And so one question is, what was the budget for Step It Up this year? And then what's the proposed budget for Step It Up next year? Associated with that, what is the larger DEI fundraising goal for next year? Because I think, you know, that should also be part of this conversation to make sure that that goal is set at the right level in order to implement the different strategies, Step It Up, to the staff that will be specifically supporting the JEDI work. And so that needs to be kind of front and center in our thinking. In terms of the metrics for the DEI work, I'm still not clear what the metrics are, if those metrics have been developed, if that's part of the rubric that is being considered now. But I'd like to know how those are going to be developed, if they're not developed yet, and then how those are really embedded in all of the work that's happening in the school. And then on the sustainability presentation, just a question about the government grants that were denied thinking about, you know, asking for the scores that were part of the screening, if we don't already have those, and also possibly talking with the program managers to get more information about why those proposals were denied. That will help build our capacity to be more successful when we go after the government grants. And then my final comment has to do about the part of the presentation we heard about how the school is preparing to support the students that are coming in this new sixth grade class for the fall. And I've heard this conversation framed in this way a few times now, where the focus of the conversation is on what the kids are coming without. But I'd like us to really, you know, think about that language and make an effort to shift the paradigm in terms of the language that we're using to be a more assets-based paradigm, where we're really talking about also the assets that the kids are bringing to OSA. I think that's really important in this conversation. And those are all my comments. I'm sorry I had to bundle them all together, but there was a lot of content across many different areas. And, you know, I think it's important to be able to give some feedback across the different sectors that were discussed. Thank you.
Thanks. There's a lot of questions in there. I don't know if we have Lisa or Katie or any of the presenters want to respond and give answers, or if we want to follow up.
There were a lot of questions. I think the best thing to be able to share out, because there's a lot of different pieces, with the task force, we are in the beginning stages of building this out. And we are also looking at how much, you know, I have been combing the budget for weeks, looking at for next year. So right now, when I put a title of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the top, and I put in the coordinator role, the Step It Up, stipends for staff to be on that task force that are working above and beyond their teaching day, that's around $170,000. And this is something that work that I believe in, and it's work that I have been working really closely with Catherine and Kimberly on, and it's work that we're looking very, very closely at the budget. So with it just being at the end of February and planning ahead for next year, you know, we're looking at where else can we be fundraising to support this work. As Catherine shared, she has brought in some funds, so that's great. So that touches upon a little bit about the budget and the task force. You did ask questions about positions on the task force. We are just in the beginning stages of building this out. And I think part of this is going to be getting more input, valuable input so that we can build this out to the best it can be. You know, the reason we started the school year with the research part, and I understand from Wylene's conversation, from her statement earlier, that there's been a lot of thought from the community around what the school needs. And I certainly understand that, but as a brand new person stepping into the school, I needed to look at some of the data myself, and I needed to see some of the work that's been done and valuable work that's been done by staff here at the school site too. So we did take some time to see and be very thoughtful and sensitive in building this out to see what would be the best that we could do that is student-centered and that would be the best in terms of servicing our students. So this is why we took this time to do the research, to figure out what the need is, and to be using the voices of all community members as we're building out this program. And scaffolding it into our strategic plan that will go over 3 years. I also just wanted to share that I stepped into to producing, to putting this presentation together tonight to answer two questions from the board. It was asked of me to step in front of the board and give them some information on what we were doing with regards for sixth graders. This was put in writing to me at the beginning of the year, and this was how I was trying to share with sharing out the talents and the wonderfulness of our staff to answer the questions with regards to our incoming sixth graders and also to answer the questions on our work that we've done thus far with DEI. So that was sort of the purpose behind tonight's presentation.
Thank you, Lisa. It sounds like we will likely have a couple of topics next time, one being recruitment of teachers, particularly teachers of color, and what we're doing. You touched on it, all the organizations you're reaching out to and asked for more suggestions, but I think we'll probably want to look at some data on that and if we have openings. The budget is clearly something around how much we've raised, how much the four, if we, you know, the four positions will be. I know it'll be a little unknown because we won't have the May revise or even an initial budget. Kev, are you still here? Or Lisa, do you have any idea how much Step It Up we invested this year?
Well, the cost for Step It Up this year was lower than it has been in the past years because we used to put into the Step It Up budget a transportation line to kids to and from. This was all done remote. We had stuff, we had lines for marketing materials, things like that. So what I can do is get the actual numbers for you in terms of the costs previous year as opposed to this year. This year is basically salaries and people, you know, the partnership that we had. And for next year, as we're planning for next year and building out the program for next year, we'll have that budget aligned. I can certainly share at that time with you.
Great, thanks. And then I'd love to have a board discussion. So initially when we started on the strategic plan, I was pushing for it and everyone was on a committee. And then I was told by a couple of board members that no, it should be the administration leading it. And so Lisa has taken it over with us all being on different pillars. I'd love to hear more about how we want as a board to be engaged.
Lisa, if I can just make one comment, and it's in some ways repeating what was already said by both Elise as well as Wei-Ling. You know, in terms of process, I really think it would be more efficient for everybody if we can get the slides in advance so that we are not having conversations of this sort without front-loading staff that they're coming. So for example, I think it would, you know, in some ways it's unfair to the staff who presented really an amazing presentation on some really phenomenal work and effort that's being put in. And instead of having, you know, being able to front load them with some of the questions that we may have so that they could incorporate that into their presentation, you know, instead we're kind of asking some more technical questions. So I think it would be a lot more efficient if we could build those pieces in advance. In addition to that, I do want to not contradict my own self in saying that I hope we don't lose sight of the tremendous work that was put on display today. I really was impressed by Dr. Thompson's presentation in terms of some of the possibilities that we can, in terms of the work we can do around CTE and career pathways, the amazing work that Mr. Choice and the others who are taking part in Step It Up have made over the years to make sure that students from across Oakland are a part of OSA. Going back to what Ms. Joshi was saying in terms of how we're supporting students and the work that JEDI is going to be doing within OSA to make sure students are supported, and all the way back to what Mr. Oz was talking about at the very outset of the meeting, and really looking at what plans we're going to make to make sure that our school is safe and that we can bring students back. So I think having that information ahead of time will allow us to avoid having the conversation right now and instead put staff in a position that they can build those pieces in. And also if we can post those pieces early, it'll also allow parents and students to take a look at it and also have some ideas in their head in terms of what's coming.
Cab, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Step It Up budget, you know, because this year, you know, going into this year with a transition of leadership, we actually had to, you know, kind of scrapple for the budget at the beginning of the year, the budget. And I was surprised to find out that the budget is not rolled over. So I want to make sure that going forward, that there's always every year a specific set foundational budget of what Step It Up is going to be. I want to say in the normal years, it was like 49. Close to 50,000, and that was with all of our teachers, with all of the supplies, that's with you know, administration support and also recruitment, things like that. For this year, it was definitely different, as Lisa stated, because we didn't have some of the in-person funding. But also, if we're going to talk about expanding Step It Up moving forward, then we're going to need more of a budget. If we're going to be talking about a spring program, if we're going to be talking about a summer program, if we're going to be talking about some of the ideas about expanding IM to make sure we're getting extra instructional days, we're going to need more budget. So whatever financial plan on a yearly basis is being, you know, coordinated, Step It Up needs to have a budget every year without, you know, somebody having to scramble at the last minute. And that's just one thing, that one of the reasons why I stepped in at that moment was like, yo, we got a budget. We need a budget right now just to make it even happen. And I commend, you know, admin for making it happen and pulling together, and also financial, you know, the financial team for pulling the resources at the last minute to really make it happen this year.
Hey, Elise, I echo much of what both Jason and Josefina had mentioned regarding getting reports ahead of time. But to extend that, I know a lot was shared regarding the various resources around JEDI that we won. And I think that's great. I know this year was the expectation was set that it was a building year to kind of really figure out what it was. But I think for us to really make progress, we need to measure it in some capacity, you know, key performance indicators, you know, short-term, one year, 2 years. And just with the data alone, I think that at least will give the board some direction in terms of are we trending in the direction that we want? Are we seeing some issues? And then that avoids the need of, you know, if we can't receive full reports ahead of time, the data sort of kind of gives us some direction in terms of, you know, where we might need to focus. So that's my suggestion, kind of just to the board, staff, et cetera.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so I want to come back to the question on the table, which is, but I'm not quite clear what you asked us. Were you asking what role you think we should play in the strategic plan? I want to get back to what.
I was leading it for a while, and then I was told by board members I should not be leading it. It should be led by staff. So Katie laid out a process, and I hear some input around some refinement to it. But then Josefina, you mentioned who is leading it. So I was trying to get feedback and ask for a conversation about what should the board's role be. So I was just putting out
I've in my experience, I've seen it work both ways. I've seen it where the board plays a really big role, a smaller role, an advisory role. I think that, for example, where I can add value is to work on the budget projections, multi-year budget projections, and you know what the trends and what the what the revenue is going to look like. We've heard a lot of potential investments tonight that we can't afford all of them. I can tell you that right now without changing something else. So, but it's my job to work with Kimberly and the team to identify, you know, what we can afford, where can we get creative? How do we use one-time funds most efficiently? How do we use recurring funds most efficiently? What do we do on fundraising? So if your question is what role we should play, I think it should be, you know, to let the staff do the bulk of the work and then use us as resources to bounce ideas off of throughout. And you know, different levels for different board members, and depending how deep certain folks are going to go based on their expertise.
Thanks, Mike. Josefina, did you want to? Josefina is her hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that when I made that comment about the committee, I was talking about the equity committee.
Oh, okay.
Not the strategic plan and the task force, and how the task force is structured.
Thank you.
I will throw in just another suggestion. Ms. Schultz, our one sort of kind of direct liaison in terms of the staff. I would like to maybe have you and Ms. Schultz have a conversation and maybe have something proposed back to us, you know, because as she's working closely with Candace and the staff to see how things are being administered at the staff and student level, you know, maybe she has a recommendation in terms of how we can best engage and support. So I would like to see it go both ways.
For the task force or for the strategic plan?
Just in terms of how DE&I, I'll just keep it very.
Okay.
In terms of being able to support, advise, I like the advisory function as well, but I would like to hear from, you know, Ms. Schultz.
Okay.
Ms. Schultz, I'm sorry.
Steve, you have your hand up.
Well, I just wanted to comment on the strategic plan. I think we also heard from Lisa several months ago that there were a lot of conflicting priorities and that the resource load was problematic and that she was going to get back to us in terms of how to prioritize the work of the strategic plan. So we probably need to know that because, there's only so much that the administration can take on and drive, and we just need to know when that's going to be prioritized.
Okay, and Diane, did you want to talk?
Sure, no, I would just say I'm willing to do whatever I can in connection to the strategic plan, but I think I'd rather be asked or be an advisor or, you know, be a small group member, whatever is necessary to help. In my, you know, my area of expertise in curriculum and diversity and equity and other areas, we can be supportive. Just need to know how to do that.
Okay, so for follow-ups, I'm hearing materials ahead of time as much as possible. Part of having a board conversation about our role in the task force underneath the big umbrella, also the metrics of DEI, if we're at that point. And then next time also talking about the budget, which I think we do anyway, and the different, what we've spent in the past, what we are hoping to raise and spend this coming year.
And just to add that if we have a passion around the work that we're doing with DEI, we really just may all need to come together and push harder in that area to fundraise and come up with a goal as a community and say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we have to do.
Okay, any other comments from the board or discussion? Okay, Steve, is your hand up? No, you took it down. Okay. Okay, we are now going to go into closed session then. I have emailed you the other Zoom link. We're going to go in closed session about the conference with real property negotiations on two different properties, one at 530 18th Street and one at 1540 Broadway. We will reconvene when we are done and report out. Romy, are you going to stay on this one?
Yes, I will stay on this one and keep it open.
Thank you. And I'll text you when it seems like we're wrapping up.
Hi, Maya. I see your question. Everyone is welcome to stay on this Zoom. When the board recesses to close session, they leave and they go into another Zoom, but then they'll come back here and announce if there's any actionable items that they took. So you're welcome to stay here or leave or whatever you'd like to do.
Okay, cool. I mean, do we do something here or do we just kind of hang out until they come
back? We just kind of hang out.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I think they had like 40 or 45 minutes budgeted for the conversation, Larry. I see your question.
Yes.
All right, Romy, sorry, I forgot to text you. We were done.
No worries.
There's nothing. Oh, let me take attendance again. I don't have my agenda. Sorry, I got to go out of order.
You're going to need a couple minutes, I think. I don't think you got a quorum yet.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Maybe.
Your second page? I see like 12 people. Like, I'll shut up and let you run your meeting, Mr. Hirsch. Right. Sorry.
Well, I got to go out of order for the minutes, Romy. I don't have my sheet in front of me. So Elise here, Diane.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Jason.
Here.
Steve.
Here.
Ah, you're right, I need one more.
Do you want me to text Wei-Ling and Josefina?
Well, Josefina didn't come too.
Got a couple more in the waiting room that are
Here we go.
Okay.
Here they come.
There we go, Dwayne.
Dwayne, stay here.
He's connecting to audio. He's chewing and drinking.
Wei-Ling, one of you stay here.
It'll happen.
Let the audio reflect that both board members are present.
Thank you. All right, we have a quorum. And there's nothing to report. And on that note, I'm going to thank everyone, all the presenters and the board for hanging in there and end this meeting.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, all.